This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonsla, and a lot of times I find that people who are blessed with the most talent don't ever develop that attitude. And the ones who aren't blessed in that way are the most competitive and have the biggest heart. That and more after a word from our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. Check out our Napa Auto Tech Facebook page to find out the latest Napa Auto Tech virtual class scheduled at a time that is convenient for you. Learn from the comfort of your home. Tired of guesswork in your auto diagnostics? Need to pinpoint faults quickly and accurately? Picoscope will turn your PC into a powerful diagnostic tool. See live waveforms from sensors, injectors, and ignition systems. See the problem? Solve it faster. Visit PicoAuto.com. That's PicoAuto.com. All right, so that isn't a movie quote or a song quote. I'm kind of deviating from normal. That is a Tom Brady quote, and that is the subject, or he is my subject, for today's episode, because he recently did an interview that's sparked a little bit of controversy, and I'm not sure why. But the reality is we should be listening to him. And I don't mean just shop owners or managers. Of course, they should. But as technicians, we really should be as well. I think the reasons are obvious. He wins a lot, or won a lot, succeeds a lot. And if you watched him, he wasn't, athletically, he wasn't the most gifted quarterback. Intellectually, he wasn't by any means dim, but he wasn't like the smartest. That even going up against Peyton Manning, he might have been second to Peyton when it came to that. He learned a lot from Peyton, and he would very much admit that. But I don't know that anyone worked harder than he did. And of course, he had a system. So I guess I'm not trying to turn this into the Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning show, because both of them are just absolutely terrific. And neither of them were athletic specimens. Neither was very fast. Neither of them was very coordinated. Neither of them had just an absolute rocket arm. Both of them won. Both of them scared the bejesus out of defenses. And for good reason. Preparation. Just dogged preparation. Physically, of course, working out in the gym, but film and taking notes. And I guess why this is important to me is specifically in this interview, Tom's asked to talk about the quarterbacks playing now, six of them who are kind of knocking on the door of winning their first Super Bowl. Who's most likely to do that? And he won't really answer it because it's really up to them to a degree, right? It's a team sport and things have to go certain ways. They have to avoid certain injuries or enough injuries, stuff like that. And I don't mean just the quarterback themselves, but the entire team. But ultimately, they do have a lot to do with that. And I think what Tom led on, which I find fascinating, is it wasn't limited to just him, or it wasn't limited to just what he did at the quarterback position. Sure, that, dominated it. He worked on himself. He worked on his abilities and his knowledge, and abilities meaning not just physical, but also reading defenses, taking great pride in being able to read a defense and kind of know what they were doing before they did it. But then also taking great interest and action or involvement in the other facets of the game, the other, like the defense and the special teams, and being involved in that way. Because as a quarterback, what would he have a fair bit of control over? Scoring, time of possession, stuff like that. But you can put up a lot of points. If your defense can't stop the other team, you may not be able to put up enough points. Therefore, the team has to work together to succeed. This isn't unlike a shop. Now, granted, in this interview, Tom talks about the quarterback position as being kind of like the CEO of the team, especially on Sunday or during a game. That might be rough from a tech position. technical specialist or mechanical specialist. Like, that's a rough thing to take on. Some of us are. Some of you are absolutely in that position. Not so much CEO, but kind of that quarterback position where you're a shop foreman or a very much a leader in the back. Or not even that. I mean, even if you're a service advisor, if you're kind of the leader, then you could sympathize with this greatly and start taking great interest in the other aspects of business and in how the shop is working. I'll stick mostly to the back of the house, the technical or mechanical specialist position, that you can start taking interest in the front of house. And I don't mean just management in itself, which you should, everyone should. We should have a little bit of an idea of what management is, their role, why they have to hold us accountable, but then for us to also be able to hold them accountable. And I think we could do all that very respectfully. I think they can hold us accountable respectfully. I think we can hold them accountable respectfully, but learning more and more about that. I guess you guys can reach out to me if I'm forgetting something, but to me, when it really gets down to brass tacks, there's two ways for a shop to profit more. That's more tickets or more repair orders, more cars, or higher tickets. I guess I say that with a little bit of a you understood aspect to it, or a little bit of a hopefully we agree that the dollar amount isn't as important as like the margins, right? So we have to factor that in, but fundamentally, more money per ticket, more tickets. That's really what it boils down to. I'm not really sure what else we could do to increase profits. I guess we can lower costs, taking active interest in such things. What can we do to save money? And I don't mean cheap out. Using cheaper, less quality parts, probably not a good answer. Maybe more expensive, better parts ends up being a better answer. But taking interest in that and getting involved, bringing it up in meetings, having honest discussions, civil discourse over it, reaching outside of just our specific area of effect. Also found it very interesting that he was talking about in the team sport, sometimes we get the out of when things aren't going well, it's somebody else's fault. We're doing whatever we can do. And I think that affects mechanical technical specialists specifically, that you can look at your production and go like, well, I'm pulling my weight. What else is going on? And there might be some truth to that, but then it's getting involved and trying to help do something about it. If you're the one cranking out the hours and your, you know, colleagues aren't, or maybe one specific colleague, rather than necessarily jumping to criticism and jumping all over them or going behind their back and talking crap and just dragging them down further and further, helping management figure out why. You might have a very unique position or perspective as to why they're struggling. Maybe it's not them. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Or maybe it's them, but not a competency issue. Maybe there's something else you can find out about that's affecting their production levels, stuff at home. We know, right? There's so many things, not infinite, but there's a lot of things that can affect how somebody performs. Can we dig deeper? Can we help management dig deeper? Hold management accountable for not digging deeper if they're not, right? There's way too many managers or owners who are kind of armchair quarterbacking their own businesses, where they just kind of look at these numbers and make assumptions and they don't ask questions. There's no curiosity to find out anything deeper. They should be held accountable. We can do that respectfully, I think. That can be held in a private conversation with the manager or owner, and it can be held, I think, again, respectfully during a shop meeting. It's just more than, I would say, our area of effect, that we can start reaching out, because the reality is our businesses, the shops we work in, or if we're managers of the business or owners of the business, I know the sports stuff kind of gets beat to death. I'm as guilty or more guilty than most, I guess, content generators, if you will. I know I've done quite a few episodes that involve something to do with sports, But, you know, we are a team. I guess we're not a team sport, but we're a team. It's more than just one individual or even a couple of individuals that help us win. Where I fear the comparison starts falling apart is, especially when you think about professional athletes, you know, the lowest on the totem poles are usually doing pretty darn well for themselves, both financially and then just like social economics is really high. Their social value, our social value isn't so good. So economics would be nice. So to know, not so much like to get paid off before the success, but that that we can trust one another, management and mechanical and technical specialists. And anyone in the position of the company is, if the company does better, we're all going to do better. And not just our pocketbooks. Like, yeah, that should be involved, but also the work environment. That should be always constantly improving. And I know it's a topic I've touched on many, many times, probably to a nauseating degree. I don't know. But I can't get over the fact of him talking about that as getting involved in the other aspects, asking them if they need help or learning more about it to be able to have some sort of input or at least better understand their hurdles and what they're up against and what they have to deal with. And then can you be involved in the solution? Can you be part of the solution or at least not make things worse? It's terrifically important. If that's all we ever took from him in this interview, that would, I think, be life-changing for all of us. If you're not doing that already, I think that immediately makes things better.
NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in the town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Auto Tech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Auto Tech Training. Is your shop ready for the electric vehicle revolution? Don't get left behind. The PicoScope EV Kit is your all-in-one solution. Diagnose any electric or hybrid vehicle, from high-voltage batteries to complex communication systems. With guided tests and pinpoint accuracy, you'll tackle more jobs and boost your bottom line. This isn't just a tool. It's your future. Be the expert in EV repair. Visit PicoAuto.com to future-proof your shop today. That's PicoAuto.com.
When he's talking about his personal success, now my BS meter kind of twitches a lot when successful people talk about their success. I know I've done an episode or two on just luck. Luck plays a big factor in success. Successful people hate that. That's one way to really tick somebody off or ruffle their feathers, is to assign luck a significant, whatever that number means, contribution to their success. Being at the right place at the right time, meeting the right person at the right time, having the right skills, or being in the best position to capitalize on an opportunity. or just stuff that's wildly out of your control about being born when you were born and where you were born and stuff like that. I'm sorry, it's a big factor. I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting it. I guess it just shows awareness. A lot of people work really, really, really hard and don't succeed. At least, I guess we have to be very careful about what we define success as, and this is not going to be the episode that tries to tackle that monster. But I think we can, at least for conversation's sake, agree on a certain level of success, that there is a lot of people out there that work very, very hard, maybe in this profession, maybe not. They aren't what we would consider successful, and not necessarily due to a lack of work or effort. But those who are really, really lucky and don't work aren't successful either. They can't be. And I think that's reference to what I talked about, or at least that quote at the beginning, is how many people, maybe not in this profession, but how many people did you go to school with, high school, college? They had all the gifts. Or have you ever read about somebody that they just, high school was easy and they got a scholarship and they went to, you know, I don't want to say this is a common story, but somebody I know, high school, they had to put forth zero effort, very, very minimal effort to get straight A's, A pluses. It was so easy for them. And they were in all the advanced classes. And then they took classes beyond high school and they were set up. And one of them in particular goes to MIT. And they are immediately the quote unquote dumbest person in the room. And the problem was, is like IQ, they are probably not the lowest, but because school was so easy, they never had to learn how to work. They never had to learn how to study. And they ended up flunking out of MIT because they didn't have that skill set. There is something to that. I guess if you ever watched the movie Rudy, right? I'm not sure how accurate it is to real life, but Rudy Rudiger did not have the physical tools. He wasn't big. He wasn't strong. He wasn't fast. He had a huge heart. He was on the practice squad for Notre Dame football. There is reference to another player who had all the skills and the lineage, came from the right family, had all the physical tools, but just never had to put forth effort because middle school, high school football was easy. He was so much better than everyone else. He didn't have to know or learn how to work. He didn't have to learn how to be good. But then all of a sudden you're thrust into this world where everybody's that good, or most. And all of a sudden the gap in skill and talent isn't so big, and now you suffer. Tom Brady, I guess, short of being really tall, so, which helped at the quarterback position to be able to throw over even larger people in the front line, didn't have the big arm, didn't have the fast feet, wasn't ultra strong. So he had to learn how to outthink. He had to be able to be a step or two ahead of everybody else on the field. I suppose that's a really easy spot to slide in a basketball reference with, like a Larry Bird. Yeah, he was 6'10". I know they advertised him at 6'9". He wasn't. He couldn't jump. He couldn't run. But people that would talk about him, and I think same with Tom Brady, same with Peyton Manning, they were playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. The importance of bringing that up is we can't rely on luck, good, bad, or otherwise. We can control what we can control. We have to put ourselves in the best position possible for when luck goes our way, that it really goes our way. And that's where the hard work, the determination comes in. And that's what Tom Brady talks about, and many other successful people. If you ask them why they're so successful, they'll say they were willing to do things others were not. And I don't think they're lying. Maybe to a degree, just not maybe recognizing how hard other people are working. But generally, in many cases, they were willing to work 16-hour days, 14-hour days, 20-hour days for a while. They were willing to risk everything. It could have blown up. there's a lot of people that risk everything and lose everything. They didn't. So, I mean, what else do they have to reference? But still, you have to be willing to work. You have to be willing to put in the effort. You have to be willing to put yourself in the best position possible to succeed. Because, I mean, if you don't, what are you going to do? Just sit and wait and hope that luck works out? You can't do that. But when you do put in the work and the effort and you're determined and you stick with it and you follow a plan or you modify your plan to put yourself in a better position to succeed and a better position to succeed, that when you do finally succeed, again, whatever that means, you can say that you succeeded because you worked so hard and were willing to work harder than everybody else and forget about all the luck that may have contributed to it. But I'm not on a mission about luck, but really, seriously, you can then attribute that to your hard work and the effort put in and the amount of effort, not just in the studying of whatever or devising means to be, you know, faster. If you're a mechanical specialist, to be more productive, or technical specialist to arrive at an accurate conclusion sooner, very important. But also being willing to look at your plan and look at your process and be able to alter it, to evolve it over time, that's extremely important as well. So yeah, I guess it really comes down to it. You might want to check out the interview with Tom Brady. You might want to go through with a lot of his interviews and listen to what he has to say. You can probably pick up a few things during broadcasts when he's talking. Same with like Troy Aikman. I think there's stuff to pick up. These guys won Super Bowls, the ultimate in team success for football. What is the ultimate for team success in auto repair, right? Profitability, the ability to take care of everyone, to pay them, offer benefits, improve their work conditions, and grow. And that would be ultimately the success, right? From a management standpoint, also to work towards giving people the ability to take joy in their work, often forgotten about. But one of the stalwarts of American thinkers, W. Edward Deming, was big about that. And, you know, we get to cherry picking what people like that say and forget about everything they said, you know, and I don't mean forget everything they said, but we pick what we want to remember and what we want to use and what we want to reference and forget about some of the other golden nuggets that they tossed out there, stuff that was still very important to the overall success of the business as well as our own. So with that, I would like to note that Tom Brady, when talking about quarterbacks, did not feel Josh Allen was one of those. So sorry, Trace. Too bad you aren't here to defend him. I don't know what you're going to do to defend him. He's got all the talent in the world. I don't know if he takes interest in defense and special teams and all that, but I don't know. He did not get the blessing from the great Tom Brady, so that can't be good. I'm joking. I mean, I'm not joking, but I'm teasing. I'm just kind of jabbing two people that actually allow this podcast to exist. Maybe a strategic error on my part. Oh, well, I got to be me, right? A little bit of ribbing. They're from Buffalo, New York. Guess who they root for? Anyways, thank you very, very much for listening. I hope you got a kick out of this. If you have anything to add or feel I missed anything or any topics you'd like me to cover or any input, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can email me at mattfonzelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also track me down on social media. Again, I just really would like to thank our sponsors, Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. And also, I'm going to toss out a thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network, because I have to brown nose after ribbing their quarterback. Sorry about that. Not really. And also, urge you to maybe check out some of the other content generators or providers, if you will, of the Aftermarket Radio Network, except Craig. Okay, especially Craig. I think I'm going to be on Craig's show, so that might be one worth skipping. I don't think so. It might be really good. Sean's going to be on there. That's his famous brother. So yeah, I would say definitely check that one out to listen to the sheer brilliance of Sean O'Neill. Yes, let's do that. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.